course, than the obvious thing. Fanny Crosby wrote the song. She couldn't physically see, but she sure could see spiritually, couldn't she?
Yeah.
And obviously, based on her testimony, she's in the presence of the Lord right now. So that's such a blessing. All right, before we go to prayer, I'm glad she's able to be here today. We want to pray for Sister Frances and her broken ribs that she suffered in the fall. So we weren't able to talk about it Wednesday night, but continue to pray for her. And she has an appointment this week to get it looked at. So keep praying that the Lord will heal her up. I'm glad she's able to be with us today. And Brother Dave and Sister Virginia, it's really good to see you both today as well. I'm really glad you're able to be here today. Glad the Lord is merciful and in the process of healing you so you can be back to whatever normal might be. So I'm glad you're here today. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for the privilege to be in your house today. We thank you for the Word of God. We thank you that we can trust it and that we can lean on it in times when, humanly speaking, all hope seems gone. We're thankful for what you've given to each one of us. We thank you for this opportunity to meet together with brothers and sisters in Christ. And we pray that you would speak to us through your Word today. We thank you for Brother Renzi and his wife being with us today. That you would use him as he preaches the word today. Thank you now for our time together. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. This is the next song, 482, is the reason why we come to the house of the Lord in the first place. We want to find out more about the Lord Jesus. 482. make the same announcement I made in Sunday school for those who weren't able to be here. Talked to our pastor via text yesterday. The mortgage got approved. So for today, this coming Wednesday, next Sunday, and the following Wednesday, we will have guest speakers. We don't know for sure yet who they'll be, but we'll keep you informed as best we can. But the following Sunday will be pastor's first as he's here full time. So we're thankful for the provision that God has made here. Like he was telling us before, for March and April, they'll be renting and that home. And then at the end of April, they'll be closing on the same home, and then they will be having the mortgage to pay as the time goes on. So we're thankful for the provision that God has made. And in case some of you know the area well, we'll know that the home is over near the Iron Pigs ballpark, and it's directly behind a CVS. So they could walk right to the CVS if they need anything medical related. So that's very nice. And then, of course, as far as groceries, they have a Red Goose and a Giant, both of them 2 to 3 miles. So it's very, it'd be easy for them to get the provisions they need to keep themselves going. So we're grateful for that. So he wanted me to especially say that he is disappointed he could not be here, and he misses all of you. So he's looking forward to the time that he'll be back. So keep praying about that. All right. This part I did not mention in Sunday school. March the 10th, they will be coming up with the moving truck, and then on the 11th, they will be unloading it. So I don't know if any of you men might be available to help at that particular time. If so, you can contact Pastor and make arrangements to do so. But anyway, that's what's going on with everything. So as far as we know at this time, it's just Pastor Melanie and her daughter. All the boys are staying down in South Carolina. Okay? All right, that's all the announcements I have. Yes, ma'am.
Kathy Hinkle had to leave right after Sunday school. We need to keep her in prayer. She just found out that the police found her son dead in the bathroom at Walmart.
Oh, my
and
Lord.
She just lost her husband a few months ago, so we need to pray for her. We don't know what happened.
All right. Why don't we go to the Lord in prayer about that right now?
Yes.
Father, again, we thank you for all you have done for us. There are many times where we do not understand what you're doing or why you're doing it. Help us to have the faith to trust you. We pray for Kathy at this very difficult time right now. This is no doubt very difficult for her. Rest of the family. Pray that you would comfort her heart and strengthen her during this difficult time. Pray that your spirit would be with her. Thank you for loving us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Let's take our hymn books and turn to 524. 524.
Our Father, Lord, save your grace, Jesus, my Lord.
But the Lord's good. For our last song before the special in the message, let's turn to 720. 720. I am so glad that Jesus loves even me.
Songs in my mind this morning that I wanted to sing, and I wasn't sure which one, but after I had a few conversations with you folks, I knew which one it was going to be. Kelly had written several of you some thank you notes and things, and you may not have known it then, but you know it now, that she knew that she wasn't going to be here much longer. And she wasn't an old person, but her body was like an older person on the inside. Her lungs were wearing out. And this song, I haven't sung this song in a long time, but the song is called Leaving on My Mind. And I always thought of this song as an older person, you knowing they were at the end of their life. But this song is applicable to her life. At Christmas time, she got some pictures done, knowing that this was going to be the last time she'd be able to do that. And I'm thankful that she did. This is a song, Leaving on My Mind. I'm living in is needing some repair. The windows and their shutters are letting in the cold, cold air. I keep telling myself I'm gonna fix them when I get a little time. But all I've been getting lately is leaving on my mind. Lately, all I've got is leaving. Seems that's what I'm thinking about. most of the time. Oh, but soon, yes, very soon, I'll leave my troubles far behind. All I've been getting lately is leaving on my mind. So I guess I should be looking for another place in which to live, but I can't seem to get excited about this world and what it can give. No, I couldn't care less if I could buy it all just one solitary dime. For what good would the world do me with leaving on my mind? And lately all I've got is leaving on my mind. Seems that's what I'm thinking about most of the time. Oh, but soon, and very soon, I'll leave my troubles far behind. Lately, yes, very soon I'll leave my troubles all behind. Lately I've got leaving, leaving on my mind.
I tell you, that was good. Woo. That was not what we call entertainment. That was called edification. Amen. And that's exactly what we need. And that's exactly what God provides for us as His people as we gather. Amen. Nowadays, sadly, churches are more focused on entertainment than they are edification. Amen. This is the reality of life. I mean, we're in a church and we're in a service and we're finding out somebody had to leave because of the crazy situation that took place. I mean, that's reality of life, isn't it? Amen. I'll tell you, unbelievable. Thank you for that, brother. When you sing from the heart, boy, it reaches the heart. Amen. And if you have a Bible, would you turn with me, please, to Matthew chapter number 28. I know I was late and long in Sunday school. And I'm not going to be too long in this service here for you. But in Matthew chapter number 28, I want to share a message. Boy, I tell you, in Sunday school, we're talking about having that assurance and, you know, knowing you're saved and just, and then to, you know, just hear about somebody's life is going like that, you know, in reference to, you know, whatever's happened. I don't know. Unbelievable. Boy, it's good to know that you're saved, isn't it? It's good to know that you're saved. And boy, I'll tell you, I'm trying to, it was the lady sitting back here, right, on this side? Yeah, and I just said in that message about knowing your children are saved. Like, I have sons, and knowing their children are saved. to me, that's a blessed assurance. You know, because, you know, I mean, parents never expect their children to be leaving this life before them. You know, and you hope that never happens. But when it does, to know that your child was saved, and for you to have that assurance for them is just, you know, to know they're safe with the Lord. Amen. And so we thank God for that. But I want to read Matthew 28 verses 1 to 6, and then I just want to give you a couple thoughts this morning. Again, my goal is to minister. That is my goal, to minister. Young preachers, when we start out, it's did you like what I said? You know, how did I do? And you know, all that stuff. And as you grow in the Lord and in the Word and in ministry, you realize that's not what it's all about anyway. It's to be able to minister to people's hearts, and people's lives. Amen? That's what it's all about. Matthew chapter 28, I'm going to read verses 1 to verse number 6. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. Now, you know, at this time, by the way, Jesus had been crucified and he was buried. And these ladies are coming to the tomb where he was buried. Verse number 2, and behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. And by the way, Jesus was crucified. He was put to death on the cross of Calvary. Amen. And then he was buried. And then he's, as he said, 3 days later, it says in verse number 6, he is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. See, the stone was not rolled away to let Jesus out. He was already gone. Amen? The stone was rolled away to let you and I in on the fact that he's not there. He is risen from the grave. Amen? And so this is a great text that deals with the fact of the resurrection of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to preach a little bit this morning on the fact of the resurrection. In fact, if I could name the sermon, I used to name it Because He Lives. You've probably never heard that statement before, right? Because He Lives. Or if you want it more simplified, because of the resurrection. What does the resurrection mean, if you will, to humanity? What does it mean to believers? What does the resurrection mean? What does it mean? Let me just say this. Number one, I'm going to give you 3 points this morning. But number one, the first point I want you to see is because of the resurrection, believers have a personal relationship with the Lord. And by the way, somehow this also, in fact, Sunday school, I was mentioning about the Lord is my shepherd, having that personal relationship to the Lord. But I want you to know this thought, that because he lives, believers have a personal relationship with the Lord. And by the way, let me make an obvious statement. You cannot have a personal relationship with somebody that's dead. Amen. By the way, they're not going to hear you, and you're not going to hear them. That there is no fellowship, there is no relationship between a dead person and a living person. By the way, that's why our Savior is alive. Amen. You and I that are saved, we have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ because he is alive. Amen. In fact, we could sing, I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. Amen. I know that he is living, whatever men may say. Amen. I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, just the time I need him, he's what? He's always near. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me. He talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives. Amen. No matter where you're at, you can be on a third floor apartment like I used to live when I was younger or when we first got married. And I could be praying to the Lord from the city of Philadelphia in a row home on the third floor. He's alive. Amen. I could be in a gymnasium at a church where I used to go and I used to pray. No matter where you're at, he's alive. Amen. This is a wonderful, wonderful fact. There's a lot of so-called messiahs that have been in past history who have died and never did anything beyond that. If your Savior's a dead Savior, may I say this to you? Your Savior's not a Savior. Amen? If your Savior is risen from the grave, if your Savior is alive, then you have a Savior. By the way, if somebody, let me make a statement actually on this one. Salvation is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, right? And by the way, it's not about knowing Jesus or about knowing Jesus. It's about knowing Jesus. It's not about knowing about Jesus. It's about knowing Jesus. There's a lot of people know a lot of things about Jesus. Doesn't mean they're saved. In fact, there are people that are religious people, not saved, not born again, truly according to the Bible. And you can make a statement about Jesus and they would say, I know that. I knew that. Amen. But there's a total difference. In fact, I think John 17:3 puts it this way. And this is life eternal, which is salvation, that they might know thee. Now, Jesus is praying, by the way, in John 17:3. And he said, this is life eternal, that they might know thee and that they might know Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Being saved is a matter of knowing God and knowing Jesus Christ. Amen. As your personal Savior. There's a big difference between knowing him and knowing about him, if you will. Let me just say this. Paul the Apostle had to give up what he thought about God and salvation in order to know Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. If you're familiar, in fact, turn with me, if you would, in your Bible to the book of Philippians, chapter number 3. I think it's best just to turn there. Philippians, chapter number 3, please. Because of the resurrection, you and I have a personal relationship with the Lord. Amen. It's personal. It's a living relationship. Amen. And that's wonderful to know. You don't have a dead Bible. You have a living Bible if you're saved. Amen. It is the living word of God. Amen. It's what? Quick and powerful, which means it's alive. Amen. And the Holy Spirit is alive. Amen. And he's able to communicate to our hearts on a daily basis. Philippians chapter number 3. In fact, I stopped going there. I don't know why. But Philippians chapter number 3. I want you to look at this. Paul the Apostle had to, let me just say this, give up what he thought about God and about salvation in order to truly know Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. Look with me, if you would, in Philippians chapter 3, beginning in verse number 1. Paul said this, finally, my brethren. And by the way, he said that, finally, my brethren. And then he went on 2 full more chapters. Just because the preacher says finally in the middle of a sermon doesn't mean it's over, folks. Amen. Verse number 1, he said, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. He said to write the same things to you. To me, indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. And then what he does is he warns these believers who were primarily Gentile in the writing here. He said, beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. And what he's talking about is there were Jewish believers or maybe not believers. They were Jews who said that, hey, you can't just be saved by trusting Jesus Christ alone. No, we believe you ought to be circumcised if you're a male. We believe you need to keep the law of Moses. We believe that Jesus plus obedience to the law is the way to be saved. And so these people were coming to Paul's converts and churches and coming behind Paul and telling them, you can't just be saved by trusting Christ and Christ alone. You need to be a doer of the law and so on. And so Paul is warning them here. In verse number 3, he says this, for we, referring to his Jewish nature and those Jewish believers, we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit. And we rejoice, or if you will, put our confidence in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Now, what Paul is saying to these Gentile believers was, look, hey, I'm a Jew, and I know many Jewish believers who are not trusting the law to save them. We are trusting solely in Jesus Christ. We have no confidence in our flesh. We have no confidence in our standing in the Jewish community or in our obedience to the laws, if you will. Now, look at verse number 4. He goes on to say, though I might also have confidence in the flesh. Paul basically says, look, if you think you're your fleshly standing could be your salvation. He says pretty much, I think I would have had that. No doubt about it. And he goes on to list his credentials. He said, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof to glory, or that he might trust in the flesh, I'm more. Paul said, look, if trusting in your flesh for your salvation was the key, he said, I could probably be at the top of the list. He said this, verse number 5, he starts to list the credentials that the Jewish people would name in order to have favor with God and be righteous. Circumcised the 8th day. In other words, I was circumcised according to the law, the 8th day. I'm of the stock of Israel, he says. I'm of the tribe of Benjamin, which was a favored tribe in that nation. He said, I'm a Hebrew of the Hebrews. He said, as touching the law, let me tell you something, I'm a Pharisee. Now, don't get Pharisees mixed up with hypocrites. Because Pharisees in this time period were those who were very, very serious about their religion, and they were as obedient to the law, their laws, as they possibly could be. In fact, he was so separated and so dedicated to his religion that he on the surface looked like, wow, he really attained to something. He says this, concerning zeal, if you want to know what kind of zeal as a Jew I had, I persecuted the church. It wasn't just enough for me to live the way that I thought God wanted me to live in my own religion. I was aggressively against those that were against us. He goes on to say, touching the righteousness which is in the law, he said, I was blameless. Now, what Paul just did right there, he basically said, listen, I, as a religious individual in my Hebrew religion, in fact, in the book of Galatians, he talked about how he was really very, very zealous in his religion and how he was really at the top of his game and so on. He goes on to say in verse number 7, he said, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for what? Christ. He goes on to say in verse number 8, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of what? The knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, empty, worthless, useless, that I might what? Win Christ and be found in him, verse number 9, not having my own righteousness. What Paul the apostle said that the Jewish people do is they do all the good deeds that they possibly can. They obey their religious laws as thoroughly as they can. They're trying to establish their own righteousness. In fact, he says in Romans chapter 10, verses 1 and 2, he said, I pray for Israel, the nation. I would to God they were saved. He said, they put off the righteousness of God and they go about to establish their own righteousness. Religious people think that they're righteous because they obey their religious duties. And that is their goal in life, to do the best I can, to be the best I can. They work on that outward religion so that they can have a self-righteousness. And that's exactly what Paul said he was doing. But there was a time Paul had to realize all that he thought was earning his righteousness and his entrance into eternity with the Lord, he had to actually count it as absolute dung, worthless, nothing. Let me tell you what he had to do. He had to give up his religion in order to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. He had to give up all that he thought he knew about being saved in order to truly know how to be saved through Jesus Christ alone. Amen? A rational, understanding person realizes that. We have a type of Christianity today that's pushing, oh, you can stay where you are. Believe that, but also, hey, believe Jesus and these good things I'm telling you. Hey, if a person truly understands what you're saying, they would have to come to the conclusion that what I'm actually been trusting is empty. Amen? But I think sometimes we're afraid to help them to face that. But it's true. You got these crusades of the past that told people, hey, you know, you can get saved where you are and stay where you are. And they get this philosophy, I can believe Jesus too. Let me add him on there as one of my good luck charms. Amen. And so Paul the apostle, it's not me knowing and doing all that I'm told to be and do religiously. I had to give up all of that to just simply know Why is salvation just simply knowing Jesus and not doing this? Because salvation has nothing to do with what you do. It has to do with what he did. Amen? On the cross of Christ, Jesus Christ said, "It is finished." He paid the sin bill. He paid the sin debt. He gave up the ghost. Amen? He paid our sin 100%. When you know and understand that, it's simply trusting what he did for you to be your Savior. Listen, knowing Jesus Christ as your personal Savior is the most important thing. And when you do, you know a living Savior. Amen? And let me say this. The world has often said, and you know this is true, it's all about who you know. Especially in politics, right? It's all about who you know. I live in the city of Philadelphia, and right now, currently, I work for the family court division of the Philadelphia. And in that, I got in there because I know somebody, by the way. It's all about who you know, by the way. My wife's cousin is a city councilman in the city of Philadelphia. So I need a job. Okay, you need a phone call. And you get into family court, and everybody's there because somebody else they know got them there. It's supposed to be, you know, whosoever will, but really it's a who you know. When it comes to salvation, by the way, hey, guess what? It's who you know. It's who you know. It's you have to know Jesus Christ. By the way, it's the only one you can know to get in. If you're saved, it's not because I know this one, that one, or the other one. If you got in, it's because I know him. I know him. That's all I know is him. Amen? In fact, I put it this way. The world says it's all who you know. I really believe it's this. More importantly, it's who knows you. Do you know you can know somebody and they don't know you? You can know somebody because you've learned of them from a distance. In fact, you can be under somebody's influence so much so that you really think you know them. Radio personalities. Rush Limbaugh. TV personalities, you know, whoever it might be, somebody. And you can listen to somebody for so many years and you listen to them so much, you actually think you know them. And you may know them in great measure, but you know what? The fact that they don't know you is probably what's important. Amen. And the fact of the matter is, knowing him is wonderful and so on. But you know what's even more wonderful than you knowing him as your personal Savior? Him knowing you. In fact, let me give you this statement. John 10:27, the Bible says this, "My sheep hear my voice," Jesus said, "and I know them." How about this one? 2 Timothy 2:19, the Bible says, is it 2:19? The Lord knoweth them that are his. Amen? Hey, it's wonderful that I know the Lord, but it's more wonderful that he knows me. He knows me. And that word know is intimately. He knows me personally and intimately. He knows my name. You ever hear that song, brother? Counts the stars, one and all. That's a song for your time right now. He knows my name. It's like Job when he was going through all that he was going through. The thing that comforted him the most was, you know what? He knoweth the way that I take. Amen? Other people know what you're going through at a distance, but he really, really knows what you're going through really intimately. Amen? One of the saddest scriptures you'll ever read is Matthew 7:21-23. "Lord, Lord, we prophesied or we preached in your name. And Lord, we've done many wonderful works in your name." And this is at the judgment. And he says, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you." They preached about him. They lived among him in the streets. They were there, but they didn't know him as their Savior. You can be so close and yet so far. Amen? Because of the resurrection, listen, believers have a personal relationship with the Lord. Amen? But let me give you the second thought here, if I can. Number two, because of the resurrection or because he lives, believers have a powerful relationship with the Lord. It's not just personal that I know him. It's powerful because my relationship with the living Savior gives me the power that I need, the strength that I need, the ability that I need to live day by day. I'm not talking the words of, you know, "God give me power to preach. God give me power to sing." Usually that's got to do with selfishness. "God give me power to see people can see it and know it." It's God. I'm out of the church service is over. I need power on Monday morning. I need strength on Monday morning to be what I need to be at home, to be what I need to be at work, to go through what I'm going through, whatever the situation might be, sickness and sorrow and all of that. Amen? You see, if you don't have a living Savior, you don't have somebody who at the moment you need Him understands you, knows you, and can do something at the moment that you need Him. Who can strengthen you, who can help you. Amen? We have a living Savior. We have a living Savior. And because of that, we have a powerful relationship. Let me make a statement. Our future salvation and deliverance from sin's penalty is not the only salvation that hinges upon the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In other words, my eternal destiny, it hinges on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If He's not alive to keep me saved, I'm in trouble. But hold on a minute. I need salvation in the term of deliverance here and now, too. I need Him to get me through this life as well as to the next. And that's why on a daily basis, through the Word of God and through prayer, we can be in constant contact with heaven. He gives us His Word that strengthens us and comforts us and helps us. We speak to Him in prayer. We cast our cares on Him. We pour our hearts out before Him. How would you like to pour your heart out before a statue? Can I get a witness on that one? We speak to a living Savior. A living Savior speaks to us. Amen? Our future deliverance from sin's penalty depends upon the resurrection of Christ. So does our present deliverance from sin's power. So does our present deliverance from sorrow's pain. It all depends on a living Savior here and now. Amen? And thank God He's alive. Amen? If Jesus didn't rise from the grave, there's no hope of eternal salvation, let alone of strength here and now to live life. Amen? There's no hope if that's the case. But thank God that because of the resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ, we have eternal life and we have the ability to live for Him and to get through this life, no doubt about it. Amen? Remember Paul's desire for himself in Philippians 3:10. He prayed to know the Lord and so on. Jesus died to save us from sin's power, but let me say this, sin's penalty. He died to save us from sin's penalty, but He lives to deliver us from sin's power and sorrow's pain. And sometimes, by the way, folks, in reality, it's not to deliver us from sin's pain or sorrow's pain. It's to deliver us through it. Sorrows come, and they will come. To be delivered from it, we'd have to go to heaven ourselves now. You understand, right? But when we're going through it, God goes through it with us. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego weren't in the fire alone. Isaiah 41:10. The presence of the Lord in our life. I walk through the valley of shadow of death. You don't have to be afraid. I will be with thee. Amen? His presence equals His power to deliver us and to help us. Amen? If we don't have a living Savior, we don't have a powerful relationship. We know the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, they all pretty much tell us that Jesus died, was buried, rose again, ascended. But the question is, where is He now? And what is He doing? The answer, I think, could be found in the book of Hebrews. You see, Hebrews has been called by some the fifth gospel because it basically continues the story. Where is Jesus now? I'll tell you where He's at. According to Hebrews 7:25, He ever lives to intercede for us. He ever lives. Boy, you can know that song. He ever lives above. For me to intercede, His all-redeeming love, His precious blood He pleads. Amen? You ever hear that one? That's a wonderful, wonderful one. Amen? But the fact is, where is He now? What is He doing now? He sits on the throne of grace. In Hebrews chapter number 2, verse number 18, he says he is able to succor, to deliver, to aid, to help them that are tempted, because he also was tempted himself. Amen? Tempted. By the way, the word tempted is not only a solicitation to sin, it's those that are going through temptations and struggles and trials. He's alive for what purpose? To help me get through day by day. Day by day and with every passing moment. Amen? Day by day. Hebrews chapter 4, verse, and by the way, these are all in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 4, we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. He's alive for me to call on him at the moment that I need him, to draw the strength from him that I need to make it through. Without him, I could do nothing. Without him, I'd surely fail. Without him, life would be useless, like a ship without a sail. Amen? That's what I'm saying. Hey, he's alive to me. Is he alive to you? If he's not alive to you, let me just say this. You're in the right church, but you got a dead religion. Amen? Hey, I don't have a dead religion because I have a living Savior. Amen? And that's what I'm saying. So anyway, the book of Hebrews, wonderful, wonderful book. Because he lives, we have a personal relationship. And because he lives, we have a powerful relationship. How do you think I've made it 30 years so far in my Christianity? If it's a matter of having no God, but just trying to really, really just be disciplined enough to go through life, ain't happening. It's this living relationship day by day that has kept me alive. There are times I'm close to spiritual death and I get mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. Can I get a witness on that one? Oh, by the way, I get that statement from the fact that God spoke to Moses face-to-face. I'm saying to you, I open this up in the breath of life. Spirit of God, breathe on me. This word is life-giving. Boy, you think about those dry bones in the book of Ezekiel. The word was preached to those dry bones and the Spirit moved upon those dry bones. And they will live, by the way, one day. But the Spirit of God and the Word of God can still breathe life into us still. Not just the saving life eternal, but the daily life I need to get through. Amen? That's what I'm saying. Because of the resurrection, believers have a personal relationship. Believers have a powerful relationship. It's a relation, by the way, that has made a difference in my life. Relationships make a difference, don't they? You connect a relationship with the wrong person, you know what happens, right? Parents, our children, we worry about who they connect with. Why? Because bad relationships can hurt them. Tell me who you hang with, I'll tell you what you like. Birds of a feather, what? Flock together. Amen? But you get some good relationship. Sometimes we find out, oh, your children hanging with somebody, so-and-so. Say, well, that's good, because I know they're a good person, whatever. And they can help them. Amen? This relationship that has been established with the Lord at my salvation, I try to maintain it on a daily basis, walking with the Lord. Amen? And that's what has kept me going all this time and will keep me going by the grace of God to the end. Amen. Let me give you the last thought. Believers, because of the resurrection, not only do we have a personal relationship with the Lord and a powerful relationship with the Lord, a relationship that has made a difference and continues to make a difference. Amen. But finally, because of the resurrection, we have a perpetual relationship with the Lord. Perpetual. If you're saved, your salvation, your relationship to the Lord will never end. Listen to me. God will never disown you. You can never lose the Holy Spirit according to the New Testament teaching. You can never sin so much that you'll lose salvation. You can sin so much that you'll get to heaven real quick, but you can't sin so much you'll lose salvation. I'm saying it's perpetual. By the way, if my Savior was dead, he can't guarantee that I'm going to live. Amen? The length of our salvation only lasts as long as the longevity of our Savior. Amen? About 5 years ago, I had a roof put on my house. Now, in our city, there's a lot of roofers all over. So I saw a local guy in the neighborhood, and I got a roof put on there. This was about 5 years ago. I don't know how old this guy is. I'm thinking he's nearing 60. By the way, and it's not a business. It's a business, but it's only his personal business. It's not like some company that's been around for 50 years, 75 years, 100 years. And you know what he did? He gave me a guarantee for 20 years. You know what I thought immediately? Let's see, if he's 60, I hope he's around at 80, and I hope he's still doing roofs. Do you know it's possible that that man could, you know, something could happen to him, and because it's not some big company that, you know, children are taking over and everything else, my guarantee means absolutely, thank you. He's got to be alive to maintain that guarantee. Our Savior has guaranteed us our salvation is forever. He has to be alive to maintain that, amen, and to make sure that guarantee stays in effect. And by the way, blessed assurance, he is. In fact, he said in Revelation 1:18, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. Romans 6:9, knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. These are the scriptures, amen, that state these wonderful, wonderful truths. We are saved to the uttermost, amen. From the guttermost, somebody said, to the uttermost, amen. Thank God for that. Oh, we're saved and we're safe. Thank God for that. Amen. It's a perpetual salvation. And there's a lot of scriptures that speak of this that we have in the Bible, which I'm not going to go through every one of them. But let me quote some for you. Hebrews 9:12. Here's what the writer of Hebrews said. Neither by the blood of goats and of calves, but by his own blood, referring to Jesus. He entered in once into the holy place. And I believe Jesus entered into heaven with the blood. He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. The blood that Jesus shed that saved my soul went to the mercy seat of heaven, if you will. And he went in there and he obtained something for me. And it's an eternal redemption, not a temporary redemption. Not a, hey, if you can't get in there, we'll put it back in effect. No, I already have eternal life. Amen? According to scriptures. Hebrews 10:14, for by one offering hath he perfected forever. That's what you are, by the way, spiritually speaking. You're perfected forever. You're perfect in the eyes of God forever. Them that are sanctified. You and I are saved. We can never lose our salvation. Listen, we're in the hands of Jesus. We're in the hands of God. You want to hear that? John 10, don't look there, let me read it. John 10:27-29, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and get the next statement, and they shall never perish. You know, it's one thing for a human being to say never, like Peter, I'll never forsake you, Lord. It's one thing for a human being to say never. But when God says never, you can count on it. I gave them eternal life and they shall never perish. He goes on to say, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. He said, my Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. So the essence is we're in the hands of Jesus, and then we're in the hands of God. And I heard a preacher say, we're double padlocked. But I'd like to throw another lock in there too. I like security. I live in the city. I like security. I was preaching in New York City one time in the hood. And the guy had four locks on his door. And I said, why do you have four locks on your door? And he said, I can't afford five. I want security. I like security. I'm in the hands of Jesus. I'm in the hands of God. But hold on a minute. Let's get the Holy Spirit in here. Okay, Ephesians 1. You're sealed with the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. There you go. Three. Give me the three. Give me the three. Thrice holy. Holy, holy, holy. Thrice secure. We're saved. We're safe. Amen? By the way, it's all because he lives. Paul the Apostle in 2 Timothy 1:12, on death row, by the way. in jail for preaching the gospel to the Gentiles in great measure. On death row, and he knows it. He said, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. We've committed our souls unto a faithful Creator when we got saved. And he will keep me till the river rolls its waters at my feet. Amen? No doubt about it. I'm going to ask Brother Jason and Brother Ralph, if you'd be so kind, 805, Because He Lives. How many people like that? That's a great song. I want you to do me a favor, Brother Jason and anyone else who've recently lost a loved one. Would you please focus your thoughts and minds on that last verse? Because it talks about the fact of facing death and that final battle. And then coming out on the victory side. Amen? Death is a doorway. And once you get through it, it's over. No more dying. Amen? Brother, would you lead that song for us? 805, if you would, please.
Like Brother Renzi said earlier, it may not be for right now, but you may be preparing us for something in the future. So help us to pay attention to what your word says. Help us to live with the knowledge of what your word says. Help us to allow your word to impact our lives. So often many of us live as though you and your word do not exist. We focus on what's going on in this life rather than understanding that our citizenship is not here, it's in heaven. Help us to be laying up treasure in heaven, where moth and rust do not corrupt, and thieves do not break through nor steal. And if we do so, we'll be building upon the foundation of Jesus Christ, the gold, silver, and precious stones. And when we get to heaven, we'll hear his voice tell us, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." Help us to be faithful to do what you call us to do until that day comes. Since it's now with your blessing, help us to have safety as we travel to our destinations. And we pray that at the next appointed time, as you tarry, that we'll be back waiting to hear more from you. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.